So as each of us can witness every day, our world continues to disintegrate right in front of us. I think we have some people transmitting near us that are taking out my microphone here. Right in front of our eyes, we see that nations are challenging other nations, and they're sort of dueling it out to see which one is tougher. The moral principles and civilized interactions between people has disintegrated into conflict. Please turn with me to Malachi 3. And we're seeing this, and it's a sad, I think it's really sad to watch the news and watch what's happening in the world, but we also realize prophecy is happening. But in Malachi, it points to one of the causes of these kinds of things. In Malachi 3, verses 8 through 9, it says, "Do not rob God," is how it's titled in my Bible. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." He's speaking of the nation of Israel, and they had drifted from his commands and had stopped tithing. And as such, they were cursed. And it does create a lot of problems when you are not tithing. We as Christians can see this, but we also know that there's a master plan, a great purpose unfolding in front of us that will bring all people a chance for repentance and acceptance in the soon coming kingdom of God. Turn with me to Matthew 24:14. In Matthew 24, in verse 14, it's saying this great purpose that God is working is heralded by the great commission that Jesus Christ gave his apostles, and also to us to preach the kingdom to the whole world as a precursor to the soon coming kingdom of God. And that's what Matthew 24 says. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." In this world full of bitterness and strife, we hold on to this hope and serve the living God, building our relationships with him so we can do his will and seek his kingdom. Is there a way that we can establish and improve what we know and what we believe and what our heart knows? Is there a way that we can bring our physical life into service of the spiritual goal of Jesus Christ and his kingdom? Is there a way to start practicing his way today, right now? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the three tithes that God asked us to give as our personal commitment to him, to humble ourselves in his service, the great purpose to save mankind. We know that God owns everything and gives us all we have. And all he asks is that we respect that and honor him and participate with him, for him to do his work with us, to be in part together in this process and part of his family. Turn with me to Psalm 24. In Psalm 24, we see the absolute statement here that we need to always kind of remind ourselves that Psalm 24 in verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in also." The earth is God's. Everything we have, all that's around us, including this hall, belongs to him and is put in place by him and nurtured by him. So today, I will cover in summary the three tithes, and then we'll talk about why we should tithe in this modern world today. For the three kinds of tithes, I'm going to go through a quick summary, but I do want to refer to our booklet, which says, "What does the Bible teach about tithing?" And it has quite a bit of detail in it. And I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 14 right now. And let's read Deuteronomy 14. It's going to talk about the principles of tithing. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 22, tithing principles. And we'll read to 29. So the first The first verse, which is verse 22, it says, "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year." This is the first tithe and second tithe basically referred to there, but into verse 23, it's talking about the second tithe more specifically. "And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, and of the firstborn of your herds and flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." 24. And again, it's talking about on your travels to the feast. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord of your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money, and take the money in your hand, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen, for sheep, for wine, and similar drink." Again, it's referring to the second tithe. "For whatever your heart desires, you shall eat, therefore, before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. You shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. And at the end of every third year, then, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates." This is the third tithe. "And the Levite, because he has no portion and no inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do." This is what the God instructs us to do for tithing. We are to give 10% of our income to the church, 10% of the savings for the feast, and 10% every 3 years for the Levite, stranger, fatherless, and widow. To find out more about all this, you should go and read the booklet about tithing, and also go online and read the United Church of God study paper. I believe there's one or two of them on tithing. And I'll actually read some of that for you in a few minutes. And I suggest you access and read these all on the website to become up to speed with all the scriptures and all the logic and reasoning behind tithing. I'm giving you, most of my focus today is going to be on why we should tithe. Maybe later on I can go into some more details on the science of it. But the United Church, I'm going to read you right out of the UCG website. Right now I'm going to read you an excerpt from the study paper on tithing. It says, "The United Church of God, an international association, is committed to the belief that tithing is commanded for Christians today," and they refer to Matthew 23:23. "Tithing on net income, the Church of God has needed to make the decision from time to time regarding the administration of tithing. There are many factors that demand that such a decision be made. Our modern world creates situations and circumstances which require that we address how to administer the doctrine of tithing. In 1982, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong came to the conclusion that since brethren in various European countries had no control over the deduction of taxes from their income and derived only minimal economic benefit from payment of such taxes, the taxes withheld should not be considered increase for the purpose of tithing. Mr. Armstrong subsequently applied this principle to other nations. Our modern system of economics is quite different from that of biblical times. We move from an agrarian society where there was tithing based on agrarian principles to now an industrial society. If we take into account the various forms of taxation, such as income tax, value-added tax, property tax, social security tax, etc., the burden is often oppressive. The church recognizes the confiscatory nature of such taxation, the Council of Elders has adopted the following proposal. While the church acknowledges the validity of God's law of tithing, it also recognizes the excessive levels of taxation and their impact on individual incomes. The church believes that the appropriate definition of increase is net income after tax. Therefore, the church teaches that the tithe may be calculated on net income after tax has been deducted. Of course, members are free to tithe on gross income before income taxes are deducted if they so choose, and they are free to make contributions above their tithes as an expression of God's way of give. Okay, so there you have the legal definition there according to the church, their position. They're really not in the business to tell us exactly what we have to do, but they're giving us guidelines for us to read our booklet on our own and understand the tithing and understand the third tithe too and how that's accounted for. Turn with me to Proverbs 3. And today I'm going to be focusing on why we should tithe. But Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Here's where we bring the physical into service of the spiritual. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." So those are the three types. Please see our booklet, go online, to fully understand what those types are and all the scriptures behind it and what God is asking us to do. It's your responsibility before God to do this. And now we get to the question, but why give tithes in this modern world? Why do we do it? Do you feel like your life is a little bit like running in a gerbil wheel, and that you seem to repeat issues and problems in your life over and over again, not ever giving off the wheel? Or has your life come to a dead end, and it does not seem to be much of a future for you going forward? Do you feel exhausted and frustrated with life, and just can't seem to get enough rest or sleep or quiet time to offset the challenges and frustration of everyday life? Does living in this world, which glorifies materialism and self-sacrifice, somehow found a way to infect your life with the same? We know that our society is growing more focused on self and the way of get, finding less heart in giving and helping others. So let's see if we can find some medicine today to help us beat back that infection that this world stimulates. I'd like us to watch this YouTube video called "The Giving Tree" from the book by Shel Silverstein and see if we can see some insightful parallels that will help us going forward. So in the video, which character was worn down and tired? Kind of like us working our lives in this world. It was the boy, wasn't it? Which character was happy and giving in love, but lonely at times because she was forgotten by the boy while the boy was chasing the world? The boy can be a reflection of us living in this world, while the tree can be a reflection of God the Father and is giving to us in love, and he gave his son to us in sacrifice. With that analogy, can we see that the boy was a bit selfish, using all the tree could give? In our world, reflected by the boy in the video, are we using God's gifts to achieve our own dream? Can you agree that the dream that the boy was chasing was an empty dream? Can you see the comparison between God the Father giving all the time, everything he had to us, including his son, as we're striving every day to make our lives in this world? This is a trap we can fall into, being infected by the disease of get from this world. When the world infects us, we just don't see how much God has given us and are consumed by our desires to keep up. I'm guilty of that. And worldly keep up, and with worldly standards driving us, we're using God's blessings, but our hearts are not seeing the love that he's given us. We're seeing the world. And as the boy in the video, can we forget our God at times? And when we do, do we think God is wondering what it really takes for us to stop and show love to him? Just as you think the tree would hope the boy would stop and show love for him, her. I think this video is a clear example of the lesson showing us two paths of life for us to choose between. One path is chasing the world of get, not recognizing God's gifts and ignoring our relationship with God, which leads to fatigue and unhappiness. You really, at the end of the game, you need a stump to sit on. Folks, the world of get is an empty goal. I think you'll all agree. Whereas, on the other hand, the path of give leads to joy, happiness, and love. And with our knowledge of Jesus Christ and his salvation, it leads to eternal life. So ask yourself the question, which path are you on? Or are the two paths crossing in the middle of your heart? We can strengthen our commitment to God the Father by submitting the physical under our control to serve the spiritual purpose of God's will. In doing so, we derive a number of benefits according to the Bible. First, we do tithe because God asks us to. Second, by tithing, we put God first in our lives, and we humble ourselves and develop good stewardship of the things he gives us. The tree gave a lot to that boy. Did he show good stewardship of that? Third, it connects our hearts to God's for his purpose and his plan to save mankind. It gives us a greater purpose. And fourth, it teaches us to be more like him and practice the way of give and of love. Please turn with me back to Malachi 3:10, which is the scripture about robbing God. God finished that scripture with a very inspiring promise. Scripture, it started off by "do not rob God," but then it says in verse 10, Malachi 3 in verse 10 says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now on this." Underline and bold that. "Try me now on this," says the Lord of hosts. "And if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." The "try me now on this," if you look at the word "try," in the New American Standard Hebrew or American Greek dictionaries, "try" is the word, Strong's word 974, Hebrew word bakan, and it means to examine, to try, to prove, to test, to be tried of, to be tested. Tithing shows our full commitment to God's way of love and trying him on this commandment and this promise that he will give us. He will supply us with what we need, and we can rewrite the story we just saw of the giving tree to have a happier ending, one that shows us giving in love and spirit like the Father. Because in Matthew 3 in verse 10 at the end it says, "And he promises, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that will not be enough room to receive it." So when you think of tithing, I'm going to ask you, please choose the path of giving. Turn with me to Luke 6:38 and remember this scripture, this example in Luke. In Luke 6:38, it says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." I think we learned a good lesson today. Please choose the path of giving.